Well, amen. Please go ahead, if you will, and turn your Bibles to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 7. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 7. And this morning, we are actually going to read the entirety of verses 1 through 10. Hebrews, chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. I'll give you another moment here. Hear ye the word of the Lord. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him Abraham apportioned the tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, king of righteousness, and then he is also king of Salem, that is, king of peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. But resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. See how great this man was to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these also are descended from Abraham. But this man who does not have his descent from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Father, we thank you for thy holy word. Grant us illumination and understanding by your Holy Spirit. Father, we might hear and walk in accordance with your word and will. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here we come to the very great biblical well-known person called Melchizedek, his name. In actuality, we don't know a whole lot about Melchizedek the man. Of course, he was one who did worship the true and living God, and he was faithful to the Lord. But this person is considered a type, as one pointing to a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the ancient days, Melchizedek, he was both a king and a priest, which was not uncommon in the early times, way back then. Now, some have essentially posited the idea that Melchizedek was a Christophany, meaning an appearance, a pre-incarnate manifestation of Christ. But this may be kind of overstating the matter, really going beyond what the scripture is saying. However, a real person he was, indeed. He was a real man, and as a real person, we're going to consider him in that kind of manner. A real person who points us and typifies our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Christ is a priest himself forever after the order of Melchizedek. And in these few verses, we see how it is that the order of Melchizedek was far greater than the order of the Levitical priesthood. Far greater indeed. Of this order, Christ is the priest par excellence. Okay, he is the priest, the great one. But as A.W. Pink, he said, and he has pointed out, Christ is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, but not of the order of Melchizedek. There's a very real difference that is here. To be of the order of Melchizedek would limit his priesthood to that particular order. Okay, but to be after, according to the order, means that there is a resemblance between the priesthood of Christ and that of the priesthood of Melchizedek. There is a resemblance, and we even see that word being used in our text. And so they are similar, but they're not identical. Melchizedek and Christ. Why? Because Christ is the Son of God, and he is the eternal King of Kings and the Prince of Peace, the King of Peace. He is the everlasting great high priest for us. While Melchizedek was great, and he was a king and a priest, still he is only a type of our Lord, not the Lord himself. Okay, the distinction is made very clear in the text that we are not talking about Christ himself as far as Melchizedek, but rather Melchizedek only typifies and points to the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't try to confuse and blend the two being the same thing. So as we approach our text, one thing I did want to point out that was kind of fascinating is that the first three verses are only one sentence in the original language. Just one, even though we kind of divide it up a little bit for the English to make it a little bit easier to read. However, those three verses introduce Melchizedek to us, while verses 4 through 10 expands on that encounter that Abraham had with Melchizedek. Okay, and yet we approach Melchizedek in the manner that he typifies our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to consider, first of all, in verses 1 through 3, Christ, a priest like Melchizedek. Or you can even say resembling in that manner. But here we see the encounter that Abraham had with Melchizedek. Now back in Genesis 14, Abram went out to rescue his nephew Lot, who had been captured by those attacking Sodom. Lot was living there when they came, and so Abram went out to go rescue him, and he did so, defeating the pagan kings. However, after returning, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of the God Most High. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram, by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. So we see him meeting Abraham after the slaughter of the kings. Now first, notice the three things that we're told happening at this meeting. First, Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And it's important for us to recognize that. Remember, these are Hebrew Christians, Jewish Christians, who first received this epistle. Very important. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Secondly, Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of all of the spoils from his battle with those kings. And third, Melchizedek is described as being without father or mother or genealogy, with no beginning of days nor end of life, resembling the Son of God. Okay, resembling. There's not the pre-incarnate Christ, so he resembles. Now remember, the purpose of the writer of Hebrews in this chapter is to show the superiority of the priesthood of Christ over that of the Levites. Now he's already done so, showing the superiority of Christ over the priesthood of Aaron. He's done that, and now we're looking at that, how he is superior to even the Levites, the Levitical priesthood. So it's very important that we kind of see this together. All right. Now, we already saw the superiority of Christ's priesthood over Aaron in the previous chapters. But there is, in this passage, there's an encouragement to a greater faithfulness to these Hebrew Christians as well as to us. Remember, this epistle is trying to motivate and encourage these persecuted Jewish Christians for greater faithfulness in their walk and the constant persecution they're facing, not to abandon the gospel or return to Judaism somehow, but rather to press on in their faith, to continue their walk, a walk of faith before the Lord. And so, as they are to persevere, we need to persevere in our lives and our walk of faith, so we see how we are also included with this. But they're not to be tempted to fall away. They're not to be tempted to return to Judaism or Moses, but they're to press on and on and on, as we are encouraged to do so often. So seeing Melchizedek, the king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, coming, Abraham ran and he took a tenth of everything that he gained from the wicked kings, and he presented it, he gave it as a tithe, he paid it as a tithe to Melchizedek. So he recognized that somehow Melchizedek is superior to himself. Okay, and that's what needs to be pointed out. He understood Melchizedek is superior to me. He came as a priest. He is king and a priest, but he comes in this priestly manner for him, rendering a blessing to him. And so he recognizes this. He knew that he was a priestly king of God Almighty, and as such, in humility and thankfulness, he paid his tithes to Melchizedek. And it wasn't pressed on him to do so. It wasn't forced on him to do so. Rather, it was done joyfully, with thanksgiving. And we see in verses 1 through 3, the meeting, the blessing, and the tithe. But we're going to see these again in verses 4 through 10, but in reverse order. Alright, so it'll be, what's it going to be? I said the meeting, the blessing, the tithe. It'll be the tithe, the blessing, and the meeting. It reverses in the order in the text, in the second part. So is the purpose the purpose of this passage then, to focus our attention on Melchizedek. Is that the whole thing? As here the author of Hebrews, he simply wants them to point out Melchizedek, realize who he is. Is it just that? No, of course, there's a lot more to it. Absolutely, there is. The purpose, of course, is to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ as the great high priest, the King of Kings. Melchizedek's life and work, all of it pointed to Christ, not the other way around. Okay, don't put the cart before the horse. It's not to be done in that manner. All right, so verse 2, regarding Melchizedek, we are told, he is first, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness. And then he is also King of Salem, King of Peace. Now he was the King of Salem, which based on Psalm 76 is another name for Jerusalem. And you can go to Psalm 76 and look all that up and you can find that out. But he was a king and priest there. And regardless, his position and authority, they were known to Abraham. And he responds to him quickly and he responds to him immediately. But notice, not only the titles of Melchizedek, but also his background are given to us. We see in verse 3 again, he is without father or mother or genealogy. And realize these, the father, mother, and genealogy is identifying something specific for us, okay? Having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. Now, I know some of this sounds kind of repetitious. I'll try to do my best to get through here with as we go along. Now, we've already seen that obviously Melchizedek is superior to Abraham. Abraham paid him tithes. Okay, he pays homage in this way. So it's important for these Hebrew Christians to understand this relationship, this idea. But now we see a different description that's given to us, saying no parents, no beginning or end of life, and he resembles Christ, the Son of God, and that he is a priest forever. Now, if he is a divine being, would he then be greater than Christ? No. If he was an angel, would he be greater than Christ? No. Can this be a pre-incarnate manifestation of Christ then? No. The distinction is made very strongly against the idea. Rather, the point being made here is that Melchizedek has no priestly ancestry. He has no genealogy to point to as to saying why he was made a priest. Nothing to back up, like the Levites, the Levitical priests. Okay, it's very, very strict. Rather, Melchizedek was called by God, appointed by God, to be a priest forever. He is very different from the Levitical priests and superior in his priesthood to them, even as Christ is superior. To be a Levitical priest, you had to have proof from your genealogy to become one. You had to have a record of your father and your mother and their fathers and mothers. You had to have a genealogy listed. That's why we see it written down together in that kind of manner. You had to show and prove your family lineage. You had to prove your recorded descent to hold office. Not the case with Melchizedek. Nor is it the case with Christ. Rather, he was appointed a priest by God, as it says of Christ in Hebrews 5, verses 5 and 6. It says the same thing of him. Now is Christ the King of Righteousness? Absolutely he is. The King of Peace, the Prince of Peace, the Priest of the Most High God. Sure he is. Did Christ have an earthly father? No, he did not have human father. And yet he had one according to custom. And as but we know that God is his father. All right, so we understand that. But Christ didn't have a physical earthly father in that manner. Did he have an earthly mother? Yes, he did. Did he have a mother? Yes, he did. But only according to his humanity, not according to his deity. Don't make a mistake with that. So it is the Son of God who has no beginning of days, he has no end of life, and he continues forever as our great high priest. Speaking of Christ, Melchizedek only resembles the Son of God in all of these things. But Jesus is the Son himself. Of Jesus, we must all bow down. Of him, we pay homage to him who sits upon the throne. And we all recognize Christ, the superior one, far above all, right? So it's pretty deep. I understand it can be kind of complicated as we're going through this together. And I understand this particular portion with the repetition of the words. I know it can be kind of hard. So we want to press on. And I encourage you to keep up as we continue in verses 4 through 10. Christ as a superior priest like Melchizedek. Like him. Now we have a reversal of the order we saw before. Okay, but it, you know, it's not the tithe, the blessing, and the meeting. That's what it is now, the tithe, the blessing, and the meeting. Melchizedek is greater than any Levitical priest. Okay, for Abraham, the patriarch of the faith, gave a tithe to Melchizedek. And all those descendants of Abraham, it says, gave a tithe through him as their representative. They gave a tithe through him. But they themselves were, in verse 5, descendants of Abraham. Not Melchizedek, but he received the tithes. Okay? And so Melchizedek blesses Abraham, the one who has the promises. He blesses him in the name of God Almighty, the God of Abraham, the Most High God, and he pronounced the blessing of God upon him. Now truly the writer tells us in verse 7, it is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. Levi, he said, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. So the Levitical priesthood was no longer needed because Christ, who came after, according to the order of Melchizedek, is greater than all the Levite priests. He is superior. And so these Jewish believers, these Jewish Christians, need to recognize that even the Levitical priesthood that is in office right now, they're illegitimate because Christ is the one who abides forever as our priest, who is superior. And even Abraham would bow before him. But he is the king. He is the priest. And he continues, the Bible says, as a priest forever and ever for us. Now, if Abraham would bow before him, then the Levite priest must also or would have bowed before him too. If Abraham would pay a tithe to him, then the Levite priest would be required to do so as well. Abraham recognized the great dignity of the priesthood of Melchizedek, and likewise, with the eyes of faith, he saw the greater one like unto Melchizedek with an eternal office. He even remember way back when, before that, when offering up his only son, even that was looking with the eyes of faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham saw the superiority of the order of Melchizedek, and so here in our text, these Hebrew Christians need to see the superiority also. A superior priesthood pointing to the one who would come, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, Moses and Aaron, if possible, they would pay tithes to Melchizedek. David and Solomon, they would have paid tithes to Melchizedek, and yet the higher honor was for Abraham to do so. Why? The father of the faithful would be the one to pay homage to Melchizedek, for he was superior to the Levitical priests. All right, and as we see, Christ, after the order of Melchizedek, is worthy of even greater honor than Melchizedek of the past. Okay, he is after the order and according to it. The Levite priests were to pronounce a blessing upon who? Upon all their brethren is what they were to do. They were to pronounce a blessing on all of them, but Melchizedek would only be recorded here for us in the Bible, pronouncing the blessing, quote, on him who received the promises. That's the only blessing that we hear coming from Melchizedek. Only upon him who received the promises. So who does our great high priest then pronounce the blessings on? To those of us who receive the promises. It is pronounced upon us. For all those who by faith are in Christ Jesus, we are the children of Abraham with the like faith of Abraham because we believe in the eternal Son of God and His great high priestly work on our behalf. And so we are heirs of the promise. We are children of Abraham by faith in Christ, heirs of the promise, and so the pronounced blessing is for the people of God. It is pronounced for us, for each one of us. So we have confidence. We have the hope of glory. We have the encouragement to press on because we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We have the one of whom it is testified, He lives. He lives, pointing to Melchizedek, but ultimately Christ our Savior, after the order of Melchizedek, who abides forever and ever and ever, ready to intercede on our behalf as our great high priest. And so we have encouragement on our walk, our daily walk, even the times that we struggle, even when we don't understand what is happening, why these things are happening, but we know, my priest, my King of Kings, King of Righteousness, my King of Salem, he abides forever. He sits upon the throne and he intercedes for you and me. And so I ask, is he then your great high priest? Have you recognized him? Have you received him by faith yourself? Are you trusting in the one who is even greater than Melchizedek of old? We have the one of whom it is testified that he lives, even Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. For every sinner we know needs a Redeemer. Every sinner needs the High Priest to apply the great and only atonement for sins. So we need Jesus Christ. These Hebrew Jewish Christians, they need Christ, who is the superior priest, the great High Priest, the one who said, no, I don't need the blood of bulls and goats. I lay down my own life and pour out my own blood for my people. Far superior. The one who is God and man. The one who came to save sinners. The one who gives us eternal life, even through the ministry, the work of our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Will you then have this kind of life? Do you possess this life yourself? I'm not talking about faith in Melchizedek, but faith in the one that he typifies, the Lord of glory himself, Jesus Christ, because the Bible says he lives. And my God, we have faith in him. And we look to him, who is our true King of righteousness. But you have this confidence and hope yourself. Because you can and you should. It needs to be yours. If you believe in the true King of righteousness, this true King of peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's yours. I pray that you do. I pray that you will. I pray that you will today. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for that holy word. And Lord, even as we reflect upon the life of Melchizedek and the life of Abraham, and Father, even as he recognized the superiority of his office, and yet it points us to Christ, Lord, who is also after the order of Melchizedek, who abides a priest forever and ever. Lord, is our great high priest. Father, we pray, move among us by your Holy Spirit, quicken our hearts. Lord, open our hearts and minds to hear, to receive your holy word, O Lord, that we might walk in accordance with the knowledge of it, but according to your will too. O Lord, we pray, stir our hearts by thy Spirit, that we might truly bow before our King of righteousness. Lord, that we might know his righteousness and his peace in our own hearts, Lord, we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's go ahead now. Just... Okay.